I'm really pleased to be here to talk about our studies that we've been doing the past year and a half. Before we started this study, practically nothing was known about Mycoplasma genitalium infections in Canada. So it was quite exciting to be able to do this. So the title is there. We really wanted to look at MGEN infections in women in Canada who had chlamydia or gonorrhea infections or who did not. And you'll see how that evolved. This, of course, was a very collaborative type of study and that we involved a lot of people across the country because we really involved eight provinces across Canada, and we had public health laboratories shipping us samples into Hamilton. So our lab at the top in Ontario, which is in Hamilton, Ontario, did all of the testing for M. genitalium. And then the other labs shipped specimens to us. And the lab in Manitoba, which is the National Microbiology Laboratory, did the resistance testing for the study. And the concept of doing this study was worked on by myself and Damon Getman from Hologic. So over the years, my laboratory has had a lot of funding from different commercial companies. You can see here, but for this particular study, Hologic provided the kits to do the testing and also provided research funding for us to conduct the study. It was very simple objectives for the study. One was, as I mentioned earlier, to investigate infection rates of Mycoplasma genitalium in relation to whether the patient was infected with chlamydia or gonorrhea or wasn't. We also wanted to look at sample types. So, for example, we were interested in seeing what the rates of infection would be from cervical swabs, from vaginal swabs, or from urine. Very straightforward. And then after determining how many patients were infected with M. genitalium, we were interested in determining the rates of macrolide resistance in those patients. So each public health lab in each province submitted remnant samples from CTNG positive women who were then age matched with negative samples. So we had a total of 1,163 women in the study, and their ages ranged from 15 to 58. We had hoped to get a good distribution of urine, vaginal, and cervical samples. We didn't, but you'll see what happened in a few minutes. And we tested for M. genitalium using the transcription-mediated amplification research use only test from Hologic, which targets the 16S ribosomal RNA. We used a cutoff of 50,000 RLU, and all of the testing was done in my lab using a Tigris instrument from Hologic. All of the positives were then confirmed as positive by using a second alternate TMA RUO, also from Hologic. After determining the actual number of infections, we shipped those specimens plus a bunch of negatives in a panel that was blinded to the National Microbiology Laboratory in Winnipeg, and they did 23S RNA M. genitalium PCR testing using the Jensen primers, and also sequencing for macrolide resistance mediated mutations targeting region 5 of the 23S rRNA. And using that sequencing of the 147 base pair consensus product identified two mutations, the A2058 and the A2059, and the distribution of those two mutations were pretty equal in all of the ones that I'm going to show you were positive. I'm not sure how easily you can see that at the back of the room, but this just shows the MGEN infection rates by province. You can think about this for a minute, because when Trump becomes president, some of you may want to move to Canada. And so you may want to pick the province that has the least MGen rate.
Oh, so true.
So starting on your left, which is British Columbia, you can see that the rate there was 11%. It was 7.4% in Alberta, 20% in Saskatchewan, and 16% in Manitoba. And then moving eastward, the rate went down. So there were these two provinces in the middle of the country that were much higher. This shows the infection rates by sample type. You can see that the provinces are listed on your left, and the rates for the different samples, you can see in the middle of the slide that we did not get very many vaginal samples. They're mostly cervical and urine. This sort of tells me that the physicians in Canada are not really ahead of the curve, because we're all supposed to be recommending to use vaginal sampling for chlamydia and gonorrhea. However, at the bottom of the slide, you can see that the cervical samples and the urine samples, the rate was about the same, 7.7% for cervical samples and 8.6% for the urine samples. This shows the data related to whether the patients had chlamydia and gonorrhea infections or not. Again, on the left slide, of the slide of the provinces, and then the middle column were the patients who had infections with chlamydia and gonorrhea, and then on the right side of the slide were the age-matched controls who didn't. And you can see that there is a real difference here at the bottom of the slide, in that many more patients had MGen infection if they had a chlamydia and gonorrhea infection. The rate was 12.5% at the bottom versus 4.3% in the patients who didn't. This shows the macrolide resistance rate by province, and you can see that this is quite interesting, because in British Columbia it was 18.2%. In Alberta it was really high at 53%. In Saskatchewan it was 40%, and in Manitoba 25%. Ontario was 42.9%. The 100% in Quebec we probably have to disregard, because there's only four infections there. But the rates are high, and at the bottom of this slide, you can see that the overall resistance rate was 40%. This agrees with another study that was published recently from patients in Ontario who had a very high macrolide resistance rate. So in conclusion, the positivity rate for M. genitalium in this study was 8.1% across the country. The highest rates, as I showed earlier, were in Saskatchewan and Manitoba at 20 and 16%. We think those rates were higher because these two provinces have a lot of indigenous population who have higher STD rates. And certainly the HIV rates in these provinces is twice the national average. So it would make sense that you would have higher rates there. And then thirdly, the MGen infection was higher in women who had either chlamydia or gonorrhea infections. And that has been reported previously, I think, as well. The macrolide resistance rate was 40%. And I think what this study tells me is that we need larger prospective studies as we move forward. That's already happening. There's a big study taking place right now in Alberta where they're prospectively enrolling over 2,000 women to confirm this data or to find out differences for it. So I think my time's up. Thank you.
That was only 9 minutes. I'm very impressed, Dr. Chernesky. Questions?
I'm a trendsetter.
Yeah, really. Questions for Dr. Chernesky? Yes, please approach the mic and let us know your name and where you're from, please.
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm a nurse from Michigan, one of the public health departments there. I believe you had said that it was recommended for a vaginal swab for gonorrhea and chlamydia. Was that correct? Did I hear that correct?
That's correct, yes.
As opposed to the cervical, the urine?
This is the swab of choice according to the recent CDC guidelines.
Okay. All right.
Which then, I guess you haven't read yet.
No. No. Then the other question was, rates decreased moving east. Is that due to population size? Or
I think it's probably part of it is. I mean, the population in Ontario and Quebec is much higher. And so if you did the calculations according to population, they would be different. But I think it's the design of the study. It was a retrospective study where we were using remnant samples from previously tested samples. So I think a prospective study with the appropriate calculations would show up the real differences. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for the questions.
I see more people coming.
Hunter Hansfield, Seattle. Max, if you said it, I missed it. Were these defined as asymptomatic screens or symptomatic women, or was it just a mix, whatever the clinics decided to send you?
Yeah, that's one of the shortcomings of the study. Thanks for pointing it out. the fact that when you get remnant samples from public health labs in Canada, it very seldom do you have a note telling you whether the patient had symptoms or didn't. So I think that's the other thing, that with a proper prospective study, you would be able to gather that information, and it would be useful information. Yes?
Laura Henderson, RN, with the Springfield Green County Health Department in Missouri. We are also doing genitalium testing, and I was wondering, is your microsite resistance to azithromycin?
Azithromycin.
Okay. So we've been using moxifloxacin for 10 days, 400 for 10 days. Have you had success with using it for a shorter period of time?
Well, I'm not a clinician. I'm not treating patients. Okay. But there may be somebody in the audience who could address this question.
I mean, that's the CDC recommendation for mycoplasma genitalium infections. Yeah. And so I don't know that there's any data around period shorter than 10 days.
Thank you.
Yes, hand?
We've been using it a bit as well. But what we've done is when we come up, we treat originally with dual treatments for azithromycin. But this is azithromycin, sorry. We're also working on nitrogen issues. But we do that, and then if they come back symptomatic, if they come back positive for MGen, then we go ahead. Mm-hmm. And right now we've tried 7 days and we've had good success with the very few that we've done. We've also done 2 weeks we had going with drosimetoria. Mm-hmm. That was it. So it's kind of like based on a clinical decision one by one.
Yeah.
But our rates of people who are coming back so symptomatic with the MGen after treatment with azithromycin is about 52 right now.
Yeah. And we've used 7 to 10 days before as well in our STD clinic. Max, I'm going to take moderator privilege since we have 2 more minutes to ask you a question.
Sure.
Are there any screening recommendations, in any of the provinces for mycoplasma genitalium screening in any population?
No, there aren't. This is something we're struggling with because the expert working group for the guidelines are meeting next week in Ottawa. And I've been working together with another member to draft a recommendation, and because we don't have sufficient testing, I mean, we have this RUO from Hologic. There is another test from C-Gene that tests for M-genitalium, but they really haven't been evaluated properly to know how effective they are. And so, consequently, we're hanging back on. I mean, the recommendations are in there for treatment, but we don't want to frustrate all of the physicians in the country. If they want to start investigating these patients, we're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah. Thank you.